Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hola, everybody, and welcome to For the Love of Pomegranate podcast in what can only be determined as a really, really interesting team sheet tension from the point of view of the game, probably more so than the team that we're going to hear that's going to be named based on what I've seen on Twitter. But we're a bit late today. I won't give you the gory details as to why, but the team should be announced in the next 3.5 minutes. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Unai Emery is going to put out, specifically in midfield. Rumours abound that Pau Torres won't start today. And rumours also abound that Luca Dean won't start today. So it'll be interesting to see what he goes with up top, Paddy, today, I suppose, against Manchester United at home.
Yeah, well, if the rumours are being believed, we'd be looking at more or less the same team as what played the other night. Hopefully they got a rocket up their ass after a performance the other night, and we can spring forward and get a few. One goal will do today. If we can win 1-0, I'll be very, very, very happy. So I'm expecting a big performance after what happened on Tuesday night. Was it Tuesday night? Losing track of my days.
Wednesday night. Yeah. Yeah, look, and you know, Unai Emery is often followed up with losses but wins afterwards, and you know, regardless of the opposition, I think that we're still very, very well positioned to be able to do that. Obviously, like I've said it numerous times, I'm going to say it again, so if anybody has their bingo card out or their drinking game out for this podcast, it really is going to be shaking up midfield. Like, we can talk about full backs, we can talk about two centre halves till the cows come home, but you know, the fact that midfield, you know, in the games we've lost this season, midfield have gotten no foothold in the game, specifically in a defensive point of view, and have been really passive. That's the issue. Like, I read somebody today that said a really interesting thing, and I kind of recoiled it at first. I went, that can't be true. And I kind of stopped and I thought about it. But it's when we can see goals that we're like, I know this might sound a bit silly, but when we can, like, it's us conceding goals is the most vulnerable part of our game. It's not scoring goals, because we've scored, you know, the third highest amount of goals in the league this season. But we seem to become very frail when we concede that goal when we were on top. And, you know, against a team like Manchester United, who just traditionally seem to have this superiority complex against us, you know, that they feed off positivity, like, just seem to see claret and blue jersey and feed off that positivity, regardless of who's on the field. I think it's really important today that we don't concede in the first 15 minutes of the game, first 15 minutes before, or the 15 minutes before halftime, or the 15 minutes after halftime, and keep that foothold within the game, because for me, our team seems to, you know, you just see it in the games that we've played where we've gone 2-0 down. Like we don't come back from 2-0 down. We're a team that needs to keep it close, keep it tight, and then feed off the scraps. And once we go 1-0 up, we're difficult to beat too. You know, so it's we are kind of Jekyll and Hyde in that aspect as the season's gone on. So like you, as I said, Paddy, a 1-0 win will do it. I'd nearly take a 1-1 draw today as well. I take a 1-1 draw today and see where the cards fall from there. But a loss today will be for me to take based on what we saw on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm not taking a draw. I expect us to go and win the game. The biggest thing that can happen today is us scoring first. If we score first, it makes life a whole lot easier. We just need to be more disciplined, especially in midfield. Stop giving the fucking ball away. And just play a bit smarter. And look, I know that comes down to Powell playing, and apparently he's not, and we'll find out in a few minutes. But I just see if the fact that he's on the periphery now of playing, if we can just get through today, I'd be very, very happy with 3 points. And it just puts that little bit of a cushion between us and the rest. And he's not there.
And he's not there, but also Youri Tielemans has been sat down after what I thought was a very abject performance during the week as well. And Jacob Ramsey is in, so a lot on Jacob Ramsey's shoulders there to bring that old last season kind of square box midfield into play, which I think he will do. But Martinez, Cash, Diego Carlos, Longley, Alex Moreno, McGinn, Kamara, Douglas Luiz, Jacob Ramsey, Bailey, and Watkins, and in some ways, I'm not surprised by that team. If I was asked to back a team before the team selection, you know, bet on the team selection, that would be the one I probably would have bet on. And then on the bench, we do have Pau Torres and we do have Dina back. We have Olsen, Tielemans, Dina, Pau, Diaby, Zaniola, Robs, Rogers, Kane Kessler-Hayden and Tim Iragbunam on the bench. So we've got firepower on the bench. And arguably we have, like, obviously, you know, if we've got an 85% fit Pau Torres and an 85% fit, when I'm talking about match fitness here, Luca Dean on the bench, you know, we probably have to say that going with who's 100% fit, you know, you probably have our best 11 out there at this moment in time, based on individual contributions. But we will see, you know, I'm happy Ramsey's in there. I'm a lot happier about that midfield now that Ramsey's in there, just from the amount of work he does off the ball as well, in comparison to Tielemans, who he thinks he's going brilliant and he's at top and he can find space and he can pick those passes. He is sublime. But when it's not, and when we need to condense in that midfield, he's not too great at that. And that's okay to say that too.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, well, look, it's great to be in a position to be able to mix that up. In years gone by, we would have been stuck with players who were stuck on average performances. But the fact that we have the pressure on them now to mix it up, and the likes of Bailey for Diaby, Tielemans for Jacob Ramsey, there's plenty there that can be mixed up, and we didn't have that luxury in the past. As you say, lots of firepower on the bench. It's good to see the two fullbacks in there. Only one goalkeeper, unless I'm trying to squint here to see the rest.
No, there's only one. Olsen, Tielemans, Dina, Pau, Diaby, Zaniolo, Rogers, Ken Kessler-Hayden, and Tim Iragbunam. There will be five substitutions made today. I'm going to put a bet on that anyway, for sure.
And look, it's obviously the strongest team we have at full fitness, and that's, yeah, I think you're totally correct in what you're saying there. So it is better if we have this situation that we're playing the best available team to us, and to have that much backup on the bench is obviously great. But let's talk about this at a 5:45 this evening when we know whether we have the points in the bag or not. It's a bit later now, isn't it? It's 6:30 nearly by the time this one is finished.
Yeah, about 25 past 6, yeah, when this one is finished. But yeah, like as I say, I'm not disappointed with the team. You know, we can be disappointed that Paul Torres isn't starting, but I suppose, you know, you have to be realistic as well at the same time. Man only got back training and started this week. Same with Luca Dean. They're on the bench. We might see them from the bench at some stage. I thought if Paul Torres was going to play, it would be some kind of change of formation, I suppose, really, to ease him back in, maybe play him in the middle of a three, so that he could get his wrap his foot around a couple of balls across with the passes. But not really 100% sure, you know, if he was going to usurp Longley, specifically when you've got a partnership there that is match fit. And as I say, I'm realistically speaking, of those two centre halves, I think Longley is probably better than Diego Carlos over the balance of games that we've seen him in this season so far. So you know, it's just one of those things that I know it's easier to parachute a left footer in for a left footer and so on and so forth. But I can see the method behind it, and there is a burgeoning partnership there, albeit one that we want to see broken up, with Paul coming back into the team as well, for certain. But again, I'm going to say it, midfield is that's the battleground. You're going to be up against their midfield. We're going to take a look at it in a moment. And, you know, that's where we lost ground in the last game, last ground against Newcastle without Joe Linton. You know, that was the interesting thing for me. Against Newcastle, with Guimarães, I can't even remember who else was in there. Was it Longstaff and Miley? I can't remember who the other two guys that were in there. But there was no Joe Linton, who bullied us the first day. We still lost ground to them, and that was a concerning part. You go on to Chelsea as well. We were outworked by Chelsea in midfield. Again, a concerning part, because midfield has been a strong point for us this season. Just hasn't been over the last couple of weeks. Manchester United. Let's have a look and see. I'll pop up their team there now. This app. Twitter.
You can find it. There we go.
Not what it used to be, Twitter, I'll tell you that much. Not what it used to be. Type in Manchester United, you get 19 fake accounts before you have to get to the real one. Anyway, there we go. Paddy's favorite footballer there in the starting lineup. We've Onana, we've Maguire, and they're like, what a shower. Just put it like right back, two centre halves, left back, and stop your messing with your numerical. It just goes to show whoever's doing their social media probably doesn't even know who the players are. It just annoys me so much the way they do it numerical. Anyway, Onana in goals. Then we're going to have Dalot and Shaw, the two fullbacks, with Maguire and Varane in the middle of defence. Casemiro and Manu then are probably going to hold, with Rashford, Garnacho and Bruno Fernandes behind Rasmus Højlund. No real surprises there, with the guys in the bench being Bender, Evans, Lindelof, Ahmed, Amrabat, Eriksen, Forson, McTominay and Anthony on the bench as well. Bit surprised that they aren't playing Christian Eriksen in this game, but I know he has been coming under fire over the last couple of weeks. But then again, things have been going right for them for the last couple of weeks, so they're probably not playing a team, not changing a team if it ain't broken. But I'd imagine Eriksen's going to come off the bench. I'd imagine if they get 1-0 up early, I can see Amrabat, McTominay coming off the bench pretty early and into that midfield to try and hunker down inside there, because away points are going to be worth an awful lot to Manchester United. They're going to be worth an awful lot to teams on the run in here, specifically that are chasing the top four positions, I think.
Yeah, it's a strong team, with the exception of the two centre halves. That's probably, you know, I don't think they've got any arguments with who they got on the pitch. It's as strong as you're going to get. I'm happy that it's those two centre halves compared to what they could put out there, or if they were fully fit. So, but I think the game is going to be won and lost in how we defensively deal with the wide players. Rashford versus Cash. Moreno can't be as far forward without having cover on the other side, or people to come across and do that donkey work. So it's going to curtail our attack, I would imagine. But let's see how the first 20 minutes pan out. And I think if we can get through the first 20 minutes and then try and impose our game on them, then we will have a favourable outcome. But yeah, the nerves are kicking in now, but I still think we're going to win this one. I'm going for a 2-1 win.
You're going for a 2-1 win. Yeah, it's not often, Paddy, that I'm not this. I'm the more, how will I put it? I know you've gone for 5-0 win against Sheffield United and stuff like that, but you know, I never thought we were going to lose that game. I just wasn't up there with the 5-0 win, which you were, and you got it bang on.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I think I've got a funny feeling it's going to be a draw today, but I'll take it to
would
a
very
win
well be.
Sure. I'll take it to a 2-1 win. Just have a funny feeling it'd be a 1-1 draw. I have a funny feeling it'd be a cagey enough encounter, but I don't know. I don't know. As I say, it could be the 6 cups of coffee I've had already today. I have me more worried and anxious about everything. I'm afraid to get up off my chair in case I fall over. I'm not worried and anxious. That's the joys of being up since 4:45 this morning with a little 2-year-old who was so excited to go and buy Sylvanian families today. So that's the life I lead now. Usually it was going to bed at 4:45 in the morning, but now it's getting up at 4:45 in the morning. But anyway, less of my domestic travails and more about the game. But I think I just have a funny feeling that the team need to arrest the slide, and not even a slide. I think saying a slide is too much. I think we can be a bit hyperbolic in two ways. I think I've been way over the top with some wins that we've had before and about where we could possibly go, and you know, specifically around the time about going top of the league against Sheffield United was proven, you know, a lot of people were proven to be probably too expectant on that day. Specifically for a team that isn't fully formed like this Aston Villa team isn't. It's not fully formed. We're doing absolutely fantastic. And I still expect us to get Champions League. But I think arresting a slide of losses to say Chelsea and Newcastle United against teams that we're expected to be competitive against, if that makes sense, would be good here. But fuck it, Paddy, I'm going to go with a 2-1 as well after all that. I'm going to go with a 2-1 as well and not delve into the back of my mind and go for my 1-1, which I was originally going to go for.
Well, look,
so anybody else want to put in? Yeah.
There's no point in being downbeat till the event actually happens. We've got our best team available on the pitch. We've just got to make sure that we hammer it home and fucking get the scores on the board. That's the most important thing. And not concede early. 100% not concede early. We just got to be very, very clever in our play, especially in defensive midfield, and not give the ball away. And I think that's the key today. If we can hold on to the ball, if we can make them work harder, and we can get our fullbacks into those attacking positions with the other one covering on the other side as opposed to being exposed, then I think we'll be fine. I think we'll get the 3 points. But we always got to worry. You've always got to be apprehensive when you're a Villa fan and not get too carried away. I did get carried away against Sheffield United, but I had a feeling that kind of result was coming at the time. And I think we'll get another result like that before the season ends, but it's not going to happen today. Today is going to be way too cagey for that to happen today.
Want to get your scores in there? This isn't going to be a longer team sheet tantrum. Paddy's got to catch his lift in to watch the game with the Munster Limerick Lions as well. And I got to finish a job I was doing beforehand, before this podcast that has a time intensive nature to it. Put it that way. But so if you want to start popping in your scores there, we will go down through them there. I'm just going to come to some of the comments there as well that you guys have. Some people putting in their scores already. I scored it myself and Paddy are looking to as well. I suppose in the background is Ireland are up 17-0 in the egg chasing, which is interesting. I have paired Villa plus a draw and Ireland win by 32.5 Ireland minus 32.5 points in a little speculative gamble this morning. So that's interesting for me as well. Some comments there as well. Paddy, actually, before we get to some of those comments, Paddy, you mentioned about defensive midfield. I meant to say that as well. The most important player in the whole infield for Aston Villa today is Boubacar Kamara. With Cash and the team, he is so much more important. And the fact now that we've got Jacob Ramsey, somebody mentioned it in the comments, and this is where I was going to go. I was trying to go back to, so make yourself known, whoever it was, because I can't find the comment. But back to Ramsey on the left and McGinn on the right, is that's where we have been the most balanced. That's where we have been the most balanced since Unai Emery has come in, with McGinn's industry and that right-hand side helping out Matty Cash there, and Boubacar Kamara stepping back into that right-sided centre-back three when we do go forward. It's super important that we have that structure, that discipline to be able to do that today. And it's something I've been saying since the start of the season. The number six position, everything revolves and fulcrums around that position in midfield. Douglas Luiz plays a lot better off it when we have structure and stability inside there. Chelsea were able to break that up with Conor Gallagher's ghost runs in all around the midfield. He was just excellent. Conor Gallagher was excellent against us. And I hate praising players to that amount, but twice he did it to us. And that to me shows the mark of somebody who understands the game of football. So we need to be able to curtail that today, and I'm sure that we will. I'm sure Unai Emery has spotted that too, and we'll do this as well. Some of the scores coming in there. So thanks very much, Sir Unai Emery. He says he can see Carlos getting sent off today. How many red cards have we had? We've only had one red card this season, and that was Boubacar Kamara's silly one. His silly one, which put him out of this fixture. Put him out of this fixture. If I'm not mistaken. He's doubly important for us today. Nicole is going with 2-2. Neil Roberts is going with 3-1 to Man United. Sai is going for 7-2 to Villa. 2-0 says Dan Downey. C75 says 3-2 to Villa. 19-0 now says Paul McAllister. I thought it was 19-0 in the game today. We've had some people who've been predicting stuff like that lately. So Paul, Dave Stiles is going with a 3-2 Villa win. James McGann's going with 2-1 Villa. 2-0 Villa, says Dave Lacey. Ed McNeil going 1-1, which is my initial prediction. Dev Dwyer is going 2-1 to Manchester United. Chad is going for 2-1 to Villa. Dennis White going for 2-1 to United with an Onana man of the match. That's worth money, I think, for sure, because Onana's man of the match is probably get 20-1 or 30-1 and it's on for that one. Anwar Shah is going for 2-0 Villa. Sniff Rant's going for 2-2. John Griffin going for 2-0. John Gameson going 2-1 Villa. Osdrum going 2-1 United. Ronan's going for 1-0. Scott Taggart 2-2. 3-1 says Kai. 3-1 says Daryl. 1-0 says Shootings Tweed. Wilson Mandala is going for 2-0 to United. 1-1 says standing on the word. Dan H is going for 3-1. Paul S is going for 3-2. Jonathan Kinsler is going for 3-2. John White is going for 3-2. 1-0 says Margaret Farquhar. Richie Ryan says 1-0. Muddy is going for 2-2. And Cloudy's going for 4-1 defeat. Lee Bruce is going with 3-1 to United. Spencer Bakewell 3-2 to Villa. David Dams is going 3-3 with red cards plural and controversy. Do you know what? I take a 3-3 draw. I take a 3-3 draw. And if there's plural red cards, we probably would have gotten our own share of luck somewhere along the way, I would imagine. Charlie S is going with 1-0 in a tight game. Paul O'Neill says 1-1. And Mark Brannigan is going for 2-0 to Villa as well. So, yeah, I'm Mike Brosnan, the mayor of Dingle. Thanks so much, Mike, for becoming a YouTube member as well. I do appreciate that. I really do. We had great crack chatting with you last weekend as well at the live podcast. Dubliner says he can't go to work on Monday with a big loss, so he said 2-0 to Villa. Mike Bruce says 2-1 to Manchester United. And I think Richard Ryan puts it the best way. Come on, Villa, step up to the big time today. And I think that's what we're all hoping Aston Villa can do, because win today is huge. absolutely huge for our Champions League prospects. A draw is also, I think, very good for our prospects. A loss today turns into that old adage of this, that Alex Ferguson kind of squeaky bum time after that one. So, Paddy, I'm going to let you get your lift. I've got to run off and try and get something started before the game begins. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back here bang on the full-time whistle. Well, I will be anyway. I'm not sure Paddy will. He might be enjoying a few points at that stage. But I'll see you here bang on the final whistle for a post-match podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy. And in the meantime, up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.